Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
He is in studio with us to start the 9 o'clock hour. He is TJ Lang, fresh off a Lions victory. Everybody's buzzing. Everybody's in a good mood. Jim Costa, John Jansen, Heather Park, Gov, and Greg behind the glass. We got everybody dialed in. TJ, how you feeling?
I feel great. I don't know if I feel as good as Dan Dickerson. You guys were cracking him up this morning. A lot of
giddy.
Chuckles. Yeah. He was ready to go.
He is. He should be.
Fun time to be a Detroit sports fan. I mean, my goodness, last night was awesome. Got some playoff baseball coming up the next couple of days.
Yeah.
It's great, man. That stadium, we talk about the Ford Field and the home crowd advantage every game, and it seems like it just keeps getting better, you know?
Yeah.
Like they just keep outdoing themselves.
It's what it looked like on TV. It's what it sounded like.
It was fun. The all black jerseys I thought looked sweet. You know, the crowd, everything they got going on for the primetime games and the lights and it was a great atmosphere, man. It was a lot of fun, and it's good to see the offense, you know, put together a full game, right? We saw a first half last week against Arizona, but to go out there and clean it up and score, you know, six touchdowns and pick your defense up when they started to fall a little bit, that's what good teams do. The defense has done that for two out of three of the wins, and now you get the offense finally carrying their weight. It's fun to watch. And going into a bye week, John, I know players never really like the early ones. You like it more middle of the season, maybe November.
Sure.
But feels like it's coming at a good time too, hopefully getting some key guys healthy the next couple weeks and hit this thing full stride when you get back against Dallas.
Yeah, you never know what situation your team is going to be in when the bye week happens. If everything lines up correctly, ideally week 9-10 and you get a little bit of a break, and it's, you know, pair that with where Detroit is with, you know, the Thanksgiving Day game, because you could kind of pair that into feeling like an extra bye week when you get the, you know, after the Thursday game you get the extra couple of days. But with the injuries, the way they've been banged up, it kind of feels like right now in the moment that they're hitting it at the right time. Hopefully they can get Frank back, hopefully they can get Brian Branch. And then we'll see in terms of the depth of the offensive line. I thought Wasika played really good yesterday, but maybe Mahogany is able to get back. I don't know if he'll be a contributor this year or not, because didn't have many opportunities in camp, right? Hasn't had many opportunities, you know, now. So it's going to take some time for him to get ready to go.
Well, and you get some guys healthy that have been gutting it out. I think Sam Laporta is still, you know, kind of nursing an ankle and got rolled up in Arizona last week. You could still tell that, you know, they're trying, and he only threw the ball 18 times last night with the quarterback, and he had four catches. So that's a pretty good target share, but, guys like that you look back and say, okay, give them another couple weeks and healthy, and let's start to build a game plan around this guy. That's something that coach kind of hinted at in the last couple weeks, that, you know, he's been nicked up. Do we want to put the game plan around him, and then he gets nicked up, and now we got to change everything, right? So guys like that too, I think it's going to be very beneficial to get some rest and hopefully get as close to 100% when you get back against Dallas.
Mm-hmm. What'd you make of Jared Goff? You mentioned 18 passes, 18 completions. I think five different guys caught two passes or more. Like, he was spreading the ball around. That's the best game he's played this season.
By far. Yeah, by far. And he took care of the football, right? No turnovers, which is huge. And taking what the defense has given you, right? I think that And I asked Coach about it last night after the game, and he said, you know, the first couple of weeks we just felt like, you know, he's doing a little bit too much, right? Holding the ball a little bit too long and trying to take the deep shots and putting the ball in dangerous positions. And something changed last week against Arizona where it's like, you know what? He used the word conservative. I don't know if I would use the word conservative as much as I would say just smart football, right? Like take the checkdowns when they're there. Just take the chunks. Take what the defense is going to give you. Seattle, for a large part of that game last night, was dropping safeties 20, 25 yards deep, saying you're not taking a shot over our head. Good, fine. We'll have to work the short intermediate routes, right? We'll have to work outside the numbers a little bit if you want to cram everything in the middle of the field. And I think that Jared Goff did a really nice job of just keeping the offense on page, right? Keeping you in second and shorts, keeping you in third and shorts, converting third downs, making the smart plays, getting the ball into your playmakers' hands and letting them go get the extra yards instead of trying to take some shots downfield that we've seen turn into a lot of interceptions so far this year.
Well, and who knew that the number three receiver was lining up under center the whole time?
But yeah, I mean, the trickery to back-to-back weeks in the red zone. You get down there and you got to find a way to, you know, get some points on the board. And that was... Can we stop calling every time a quarterback catches a ball a Philly special?
That's Alcatraz.
That's literally the... I know, but it's the headline. I go on ESPN this morning and Detroit runs the Philly special. No, they did. Like, you know what I mean? That's...
Yeah.
That bothers me. But no, that was awesome play. Ben Johnson... He always seems to have one play a game where you never know what's going to happen. And sometimes you might not even see the play if you don't get the right look. But 2 weeks in a row now, they've gotten the right look. And those are calls that you know in the huddle, John.
Yeah.
You get that call, you line up, you see the defense right away. You're like, oh, it's touchdown.
Yeah.
Well, it's like as long as I block my guy, it's touchdown. This is going to be awesome.
You're keeping the greatest secret in the world. Tiptoe to the line of scrimmage, put your hand down, you're like, this is the look, this is what we're doing. And all of a sudden, and then it works. And you're like, it's so much fun to be a part of some of those plays.
Yeah.
What was better, the throw or the catch?
I'm going to say sneaky the catch because Jared Goff.
Over the shoulder.
And he showed late hands too, which is a big coaching point for receivers because you could tell if he would have put his hands up early, that I think it was outside linebacker might have had a chance to get his hands up on the ball. He never does that. He just kind of leaves his hands down low and lets it fall right into his pocket, man. That was a heck of a catch. And then the little, like, kind of mini high step into the end zone. I was like, all right, he's feeling it. Yeah, he's feeling it. But
he's picked up first downs with his feet. Now he's high stepping into the end zone.
He's got a little fountain of youth going on with the legs, man. This is some of the most... agile and athleticism we've seen from Jared Goff so far in a long time.
You guys can call in. We'll get some phone calls in the mix too. 248-539-9797. Clearly the offense is the headliner. We brought up the middle eight possessions of the game. They scored six touchdowns. This is like getting your swagger back. The defense, TJ. There's a lot of people going, oh, Aaron Glenn's defense against Seattle. I think people are being unnecessarily hard on this defense. Three straight stops to close the game. They win by 13 points. What did you see on that side of the ball?
I think the only thing that I really didn't like was all the penalties, you know, and a couple of them were on big third downs. I think you had one where, you know, Geno scrambled around and you end up getting him down for not a loss, but short of the sticks. And you look back, defensive holding, right? And then roughing the passer, then pass interference, another pass interference, another hold. That was the one thing I really didn't like. And if you take just maybe half of those out, I think you keep Seattle probably under 20 points because I think they scored a couple touchdowns on drives that you extended with the penalties. Look, I knew it was going to be tough to stop the passing attack with the guys that they have over there, and Geno Smith was getting rid of the ball fast. Certainly missed Brian Branch a little bit, right? Kind of roaming the middle of the field and baiting some bad throws. But overall, man, I thought it was impressive. Was it the best game they played all year? No, but it was good enough, right? And that's the bottom line. And they did a good enough job in the first half, right? I think that really set the tone when Kenneth Walker had four carries for 6 yards. Now, we know he busted a couple big ones in the second half, but it never felt like that game was going to get back into reach where, we can't answer. Oh, Seattle's getting hot and our offense is stalling out. You never got that feel. And I felt like the pass rush was still really good last night. Like, there were a lot of times, probably 7 or 8 times, where Hutchinson, it looked like the Rams game where he's just beating the tackle so clean, but the ball's coming out. You're right. like, that's so frustrating, you know, getting some hits on the quarterback. But the big thing I like the most, I think, is taking the ball away twice. You know, yep. Jack Campbell laying a big hit on DK Metcalf.
That was so awesome.
And then Kirby Joseph going up and high pointing that ball was awesome. You know, and I think the one maybe area that cleaned up a little bit, a lot of missed tackles last night. I don't know if it was just bad angles or pursuit or losing your footing or what it was, but it seemed like
TJ, they might have been out of gas a little bit.
They were tired, man. They were on the field 22 minutes out of the 30 in the second half.
Wow.
You could tell they were getting tired, but to come up huge on the last couple drives, I mean, Seattle's inside the 5-yard line. You keep them to no points, and then another drive they get a chance and you take the ball away. So those are winning plays and winning drives. And when you got to have it, when you have to come up and make a play, that defense did. The offense did as well. The drive with 8 minutes left. You feel like, okay, we're up eight. We need at least run some clock out, if not get a field goal on the board. They go down in 4 minutes and put up another touchdown to put that game out of reach. So when you had to have the plays, the players were making them.
Yeah. The thing that I liked the most was just the efficiency of the offense. And I know defensively, there's penalties, which I think are a young player adjusting. Carlton Davis is playing basically one-on-one with one of the most physical receivers in the NFL. Mm-hmm. Those are going to happen. And I kind of use the cost of doing business at that point. That's going to happen. But the efficiency of the offense, and nobody liked to see the three and out to start. Nobody liked the safety at the end. But in between, there's eight possessions. They scored six touchdowns on those eight possessions. They were dominant, doing what they wanted to do, and you always had guys making plays. David Montgomery, and the juice that he provides this offense, that 40-yard reception, I mean, it was supposed to be a one-yard loss.
Yeah, it was Devin Witherspoon he ran over, too.
He runs him over. After Devin Witherspoon already made a couple of plays, very similar to that, he runs him over, goes for 40, and it just, the amount of juice that he provides this team, that offensive line. Last week, it was the, let's carry him for 5 yards and his feet don't even touch the ground to pick up a first down, I think is where you're looking at a Dan Campbell coach team, and it doesn't matter. You might have guys down for a week, 2 weeks, some of the injuries, but the expectation is that everybody else is going to come in and play to a starter's level of expectation.
Yeah, they got the depth. There's a lot of guys that were on this team a couple years ago that are no longer around, right? And because you're just bringing in better competition. And guys like, Coyote Awosika, who started the NFC Championship game last year, right? They have guys that they can trust to throw in there and not change the entire scheme, offense or defense. Okay, hey, we're missing Brian Branch. We got to change everything. Or we're missing Frank Ragnow. We can't run the ball inside it. You know what I mean? You've got guys that can step in and keep the train rolling. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, you're right. That's a testament to, Brad bringing in the right guys and Dan being able to, and the rest of the coaching staff getting those guys ready to go.
248-539-9797. We'll work in some of your phone calls. This team is now at the quarter mark. They go into the bye week. Are they better than you thought they would be so far this season? That's a question you guys can answer. It was a gotta have it spot. And the offense played as well as they've played in the Dan Campbell era. I mean, it speaks volumes about this football team. We'll get your thoughts on that. TJ's reactions to the uniforms and the environment as well. It's 97.1.
I get asked all the time, why did I want to lose weight? Why did I want to make a lifestyle change? And the first reason was I was just really fat. The second one was I wanted to make sure that for my kids, for my family, that I was in position to be around a lot longer than I was setting myself up for. I wanted to be more active with the young kids. So I called and contacted Ideal U. I was able to lose 10 pounds in the first 10 days. I lost 50 pounds in 40, and now I'm down 70 pounds. They're going to assign you a weight loss coach, and they want to make sure you reach your goals, but they also want to make sure that you stay on that same path. They're there to support you. You can find them at idealu.us right now and schedule a free consultation. You could be 20, 30, or even 40 pounds lighter in just 40 days. Ideal U has helped thousands of people just like you and me. If you want to weigh less, go to idealu.us.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
All right, guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket, and if you're betting college football bowl games, and that can be a dicey endeavor, we're the podcast for you. We're releasing breakdowns for every matchup with new episodes dropping almost every day. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Nice. Solid.
What did you think of them?
Solid work. I thought they looked cool.
Yeah.
Selfishly, and I think everybody else up in the press box, a little difficult to make out the numbers. Oh, yeah. You know, so I felt bad for our spotter at times on the broadcast, but I thought they looked awesome.
Yeah, but I mean, it would be one thing if it was the opponent, and you're less familiar with how guys move, what they look like in their uniforms. You kind of get a feel.
Yeah, you're right.
You know, like now, like for the Michigan games, I kind of know who it is without seeing the number.
Yeah.
And so for the home broadcast, it's a little bit easier.
TJ, that's John saying just be better at your job.
Well, I'm not the player.
You're not the spotter.
I don't care. I listen to what Dan says, and I'm like, all right, I'll roll with it.
If it's wrong, it's Doug's fault.
He messes it up. Hey, my fault, man. But there are times where, like, Aleem McNeil or Mekhi Wingo, right? You see the four, you see a big guy.
Yeah.
Linebacker, you know, Jack Campbell, 40. You see a 40, Malcolm Rodriguez. Yeah. Okay, like.
I don't miss those two.
Dude, I'm totally nitpicking. Like, I thought the jerseys were. Right, I thought they looked better in person than maybe some of the pictures I saw when they first came out.
Yeah.
You're looking at them, you're like, okay, I don't really like that combination. I like the blue helmet with the all blacks.
Yeah. With the black Lions logo and the black stripe. You see a lot of the you know uniforms that they're using just for a couple of games, and the helmets don't really match. Like, if you're going to go all blacks, then buy into it and go with black on the helmet as well.
Yeah.
Let's get some phone calls.
They're smooth.
Yeah, no, I thought they looked sharp. Brian in Chesterfield, you're on 97.1.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Hey, good morning.
I was calling a couple things. I've been listening to you all morning. A couple things I wanted to touch on. First off, let's go Detroit. Who loves you, baby? I came into that game last night. You know, Seattle, I was a little nervous. They're 3-0 for a reason. And we went in there and did what we had to do, and it was an exciting win, you know. It was a fun game to watch all around, especially with the way we were playing. And how about Kirby? How about that stop he made when he caught the guy in the air and took him down? That was crazy, you know.
Yeah, Kirby played a good game.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I made a couple good run stops too.
Yeah, you know, I'm really excited how he is in year three. It's more of what we thought we were going to get last year from what he did in his rookie season.
Yep, correct. And I just wanted to say, man, Goff and everybody, they're doing what they need to do. And going 3-1 right now is what we needed. It was a good win. And I feel like this year, especially with, I like the new uniforms too. I believe that when you look good, you feel good, you play good. And we got to remember that these guys are young guys and they got swag, you know. And I feel like they put on them uniforms, they feel good, they're going to play good, you know. That's just my thought, at least.
Yeah, you're right. There's a lot to like, Brian. And Seattle, I mean, you're right, too. They were 3-0 for a reason. Now, look, well, the quarterbacks they played, I mean.
Denver, New England, Miami.
Yeah, you're playing, you know, Tim Boyle, who's probably chilling on a beach somewhere down in Miami. I mean,
yeah.
Didn't even know he was still in the league. Yeah.
But regardless,
that's a team that had your number. They were probably sick of hearing about the last three matchups and the 45 points a game they were letting up. And last night was a time to go do something about it. And I thought that was a game that Jared Goff needed. You know what I mean? Like, just for his confidence to get back into a rhythm, to say, okay, you know, maybe I was trying to do a little bit too much early in the season, new contract, right? Higher expectations not around me personally and this team. Let's get back to, you know, playing just smart football, sound football, disciplined football. That seemed like a game that he personally needed to kind of get back on his expectation of play.
Yeah, I mean, we had people immediately out of the gate. Oh, the contract. And we had some guy calling and go, it's, you know, he got married, his priorities. None of that makes any sense, okay? But I think for him to quiet all the nonsense with a game like that going into the bye week, yeah. I think, not that he should care, but I think it does give them a different mentality coming out of the bye week now, knowing, hey, we're 3-1, same record as last year. I would argue they're playing better than they were at this time last year. This is a great spot to be.
Yeah, we talked about it yesterday in the pregame show. I mean, this is about the time last year, too. You 2-1, okay, we need to start scoring some points. And week four was about the time they started to roll. And, you know, Dan Campbell and Ben Johnson talked about it the last couple weeks. You know, hey, we like where we're at. I mean, mm-hmm. we're just missing a couple plays here or there, a couple third downs, right, a couple penalties that are shooting ourselves in the foot. You know, but there was no sense of panic, like, what is going on, man? We can't put together a full game. They knew they were going to be fine eventually. And then they knew that Jared Goff was probably due for, you know, a nice game. And I think that coach kind of reflected the way they started that game. Now, I know they went 3-and-out, but Dan Campbell's traditionally been a defer to the second half if you win the toss.
Right.
They win the toss yesterday. He wants the football. That kind of told me, okay, he's feeling something that he knows this offense is due to have a day. And he was right.
Yeah, disappointing they went 3-and-out, but that was, looking back on it now, a blip on the radar.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that.
And the second
worst
drive.
Case scenario, you take the ball, you do, worst case, you go 3-and-out, but
right.
defense comes up, you know, gets a stop, and then you start rolling. So I think he kind of knew that, you know, our offense was due.
Yeah.
Second drive had to make you guys both so happy. It was a man drive. It was 12 plays, 7 minutes, 93 yards, mostly on the ground. And then they got in the red zone and they said, hey, Dan Skipper, get out here. Yeah. Hey, we're gonna pull linemen over. We're going to go heavy set on the goal line. We didn't get it on first down. Didn't get it on second down. Are we going to? No, we're going to go right back to it on third down.
Yeah. Kind of looked like that overtime drive a little bit where,
yeah,
you know, we're just, okay, we went 3-and-out. Okay, what are we going to, let's just start running the ball. Let's start establishing our dominance a little bit. And
you basically just reset, all right? You go 3-and-out. You force them to punt. Now you get the ball on the 7-yard line. Field position is not in your advantage. But when you still are on that script, hey, okay, it didn't work the first time. Let's start with the script and let's go down. Then all of a sudden, you set the tone with a 93-yard drive.
Yeah. And you didn't even have any third down. You had one third down. It was third and goal at the one,
right.
The one you scored a touchdown. But that drive, you didn't even face a third down. That's really good football, going that long of a distance to not face one third down.
It's amazing.
That was awesome. Yeah.
John and LaPierre, you're on 97.1.
Hey, what's up? Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Morning, John.
I have a quick one and then another one. I think last night when we did the draft, we got Enos Ringshaw. A lot of people were like, why are we getting this guy? I think last night was the first glimpse at why we picked him up. He had a couple good plays where he really kind of showed up for us when we needed a big play. And then second thing, we're touted as having, you know, one of the best offensive lines in the league, and Jared Goff kind of touched on it last night after the game. You know, the guys that were playing last night, they were plug and played into positions. Yeah, they played the line, but they were playing positions they don't normally play. And we still had it. We were able to march the ball right down the field. And I think that's a lot of credit to the offensive line.
You're right about the offensive line. Maybe you guys noticed something with Rakestraw last night that I'll have to go back and watch the game. But
I didn't notice him.
I didn't see him.
He didn't show up in the stat line. There's no tackles, no passes defended.
Yeah, I'll have to go back and watch. You know, I played a lot of special teams, but
maybe there was a play on special teams. I thought Amik Robertson.
He's scrappy.
A play later in the game where they highlighted on TV, his first step wasn't a good first step, but he closed on the ball. It was a key. I think it was maybe a third down stop. Then they went for it on fourth and got the stop. Well, penalty and then a punt.
Yeah, he's scrappy. He's fun to watch, and especially in that slot position, man. He doesn't get beat very often, and he's sticky. But the offensive line, you're right. I think Mike was kind of panicking a little, and I'm not talking bad about Mike, but he was maybe not panicking, but
nervous,
worried about Frank being out and Graham. That is allowed. He's probably still sleeping, but Graham has played a lot of center in this league.
And what's this, his 11th year?
Yeah, and Kyoto Awosika has a couple starts under his belt, too. Now, the question was, okay, how can you fast forward the chemistry? How many reps has, Graham taken next to Kevin Zeitler, right? And getting fits on double teams or the communication or passing off stunts. And same thing with Awosika. Like, how many reps has he gotten with Taylor Decker throughout training camp or none in the preseason, right? So how fast can they kind of speed up? I think it certainly helped yesterday that you were at home.
Yes.
So your communication was not as challenged if you were going to be on the road. You were able to kind of slow things down, get on the same page. But they've probably got... you throw Dan Skipper in there too. I think they really like Michael Neese. You throw in any combination of those guys, and like we talked about, I don't think that offense is going to change what they do. I think they like every single one of them.
Yeah, and you're talking about a guy that at center in Graham that it did that last year, came in and played center. And to me, it's more about the communication with the quarterback, making sure that this is where we're going with our blitz pickup. This is who we're identifying as the Mike, is who we're turning our protection to. I thought the communication was great in that regard. But an 11-year guy at center, you got another guy that's played in the NFL for a decade in Zeitler. Yeah, you haven't played next to each other, but you've got the experience of playing next to enough new people that it's not the first time. You've done it before, and you know how to make up the difference.
Yeah, and I'll have to go back and watch the sacks. I know that I think there were two or three.
Well, the first one was a covered sack.
Yes.
Protection was
really
gone.
Yeah. But it didn't seem like, I think for the first time this year, I didn't really see any free runners where, oh, man, they got us, right? The safety blitzed or the linebacker blitzed. Oh, we didn't see him. We saw that at least once or twice in every game so far this season.
Yeah.
I didn't see that yesterday, which tells us the communication was on point.
Yep. Well, and there was the one play where Laporta had to go across the pocket to help make a save.
Yeah.
That's the one where Goff did the 360 facing the wrong end zone. And oh, no.
Just pulled up throwing. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, listen, there's a lot to highlight from this game. Ticket Texter wants TJ's thoughts on the Tyrion Arnold penalties. We'll get that coming up next. There's someone on hold that wants to talk about Jared Goff chants. There's like this internal fight between Detroit sports fans about these Goff chants. We can mix that
things
in.
That don't matter.
I know it's stupid. Two Grand Slam. We'll have TJ's best effort with the Two Grand Slam coming up at the end of the show.
Boy.
Can you do better
than
our
You know what? I do listen most Tuesday mornings, and I've always wanted to participate.
But you didn't get up early today.
Chance. Coming off 4 hours of sleep, though, I'm getting a little nervous. We'll see how it goes. I'm
taking
excited.
Mine with me.
I'm excited.
Yeah, don't give him any
break,
notes.
Yeah.
950 will do that. It's 97.1. Tribute to Calvin Johnson. Mm-hmm. Dunking on the field goal post. 70 yards, TJ. He was gone.
Sweet. That was a heck of a play call. You figured it was coming eventually because you just started to see Seattle safeties creeping up towards the line. I think you got a cover zero blitz. And, yeah, as soon as that ball was thrown, you looked up. You're like,
gone.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Yeah.
He was high-stepping with 20 yards to go.
I would like to see Jameson have one celebration. He pulled seven different celebrations after that. He's running up, and then he dunks it. Then he runs and does the Lambo leap type deal. And then he's coming off the field doing something else. It's like, all right, man, maybe you already got a penalty. Maybe if that's going to be your celebration, just maybe leave it at that. But, yeah, you had a feeling that that the top had to get blown off that defense eventually, and it was a perfect play call. And Ben Johnson, I think I heard game ball.
One of them went to J-Mo.
Okay, one of them went to J-Mo, but I think
Ben Johnson
got one.
Yes. Yeah, and was Kirby. It Kirby Joseph got one? Yeah, Goff did not get one.
Yeah, they both claimed that they didn't know that he didn't. I don't buy that. Quarterbacks know their stats. Like, we know quarterback. Yeah. Quarterbacks know their stats.
Yeah, he knew it. I wouldn't be surprised if Dan, which he admitted, like, he's not going to lie to you and say.
No, Dan probably didn't.
Yeah,
know.
He had no idea. No, he had thrown an incompletion.
Jared played it off.
Jared hit us with a, who, me?
Yeah, you mean I didn't throw an incompletion?
Say that again?
Tonight?
Hold on.
Are you sure about that? Yeah, wait a second here. Say that one more time. I'm going to make sure I heard it right. Did I? Let me think. I guess I didn't have an incompletion.
Oh, man. Yeah. Oh, was there a drop? No.
Did anybody see my touchdown catch? I mean, did anybody see that?
Ben Johnson did call a hell of a game, though. And really, we were talking during break. Maybe the one call that I could gripe with was, you know, trying to run that toss on the third and short, David Montgomery, late in the game and getting stuffed. That was just like,
damn him.
Just keep it between the tackles, man. Like, just keep pushing the pile, you know. But that's nitpicking. That's
working.
That's
griping, yes.
But yeah, I thought Ben Johnson called a hell of a game.
It was a fun football game.
For the offense, it was.
Yeah, but even when the defense was sweating a little bit, you're playing with a 2-touchdown lead. Yeah. That's fun.
And the answers back and forth in that third quarter were it was fun.
Watch.
It was just up and down and big plays, and you knew Seattle wasn't going to go away easy. And, you know, offense, hey, man, we got to have a drive, right? They're back within eight, and you go down on that big long drive and punch in another one with St. Brown with an incredible toe tap on the sideline. That was you're right, man. That was a really, really fun game to watch.
When you play the way Jared Goff has played, like, everybody's celebrating this guy. The guy didn't hang on hold, but someone wanted to make the point about this fan-on-fan crime we've seen. So Jared Goff chants happened not just at Ford Field. They were at, you know, LCA
everywhere
last year and at Comerica Park over the weekend. Yeah. And I've seen fans.
If there was any Pistons fans there, I'm sure they would too.
Right.
But just not many.
Duggan Scott's calls on this yesterday. Some fans don't like the Jared Goff chants outside of Ford Field. Like, chant Tiger names at Comerica or chant Red Wing names.
Undecided. Undecided.
Bullpen. Bullpen. Bullpen.
Yeah. Group effort match just doesn't ups, ring. Yeah.
I don't know. I'm indifferent. I mean, it obviously caught on last year in the playoffs that were, you know, incredibly exciting time. I really don't have an opinion on it. I mean, I
could care less.
I couldn't care less. I mean, it is what it is, man. There's a lot of excitement around this
Things
team,
that, you know? I mean, you really came through for the O-line because it was don't really care about the chanting names. And then J-Mo, pick a celebration. Like, we're okay with the celebration, right? But you sounded so much like an offensive lineman. Like, okay, like, three celebrations is a bit much. Pick one and go with it.
You know, offensive lineman, all we want is just a little tap on the head, right?
Just give me a high five.
Just give us a little pat on the head and say, hey, nice job, guys. That's it.
Thanks a little, buddy.
Don't need to watch you run around the field and do 19 different things. Just come give me a handshake and good word. Good job getting in the end zone. Good job.
Hey, by the way,
your golf chance.
I don't
know. That's funny.
If you saw this, I asked this question earlier. I haven't had an answer to it, and it's, trust me, it's not an important one. After the touchdown reception that Jared Goff had, he throws the ball into the stands.
Mm-hmm.
Was that an upper decker? Because he launched that ball. I don't know where it landed.
Honest, I don't think I know where it landed either. Yeah. He did throw it hard, but I think my eyes kind of went back to the field looking for penalties or anything. No, I didn't see it.
You weren't tracking the ball.
Die hard. Any flailing? No.
It was the first thing I did too. And J-Mo goes for 70. I'm like, wait a second. You look for the yellow flag before you run that far.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You'd be like, oh man, I gotta go back.
He did launch that. You wonder, I guess he's probably not a ball you want to keep, but quarterbacks, you know.
Oh, for him, you're saying.
For him.
Yeah, you know? First, like, touchdown reception.
Touchdown reception, man. That's normally a ball that
it'll go up for auction. It'll be auctioned off the same time Ohtani's 50th home run gets auctioned off.
Ooh, which one goes for more?
Let's get to Gino in Canton. Gino, good morning.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Hey, guys. I just wanted to do a comment on dude, how cool is it that the Lions, I tell you, every time that they get the on primetime, the NFL primetime networks, they got to just be pumped every time the Lions are on primetime. Talking about representing, you know, every game from the Green Bay game to the NFC Championship game, from the Stafford game, anytime that they're on, they're exciting. I mean, not just in Detroit, but around the country, and I'm sure, like, they're getting talked about days after each game. You don't know what's going to happen, but you know it's just going to be a great game. So I'm just proud of the way that they just represent and the way Detroit's been representing from Ford Field to the draft. I mean, we've just been rocking.
Yep.
Were they 5-1 the last couple of years?
Primetime Golf. Primetime? Yeah. And that's when he plays his
Dallas. Dallas game.
Yeah. Should have won.
Yeah, there's a reason why they're getting more of them.
Yeah.
You know, big numbers.
Tyrion Arnold. TJ, your level of concern, is this a problem? He keeps getting flagged.
I mean, yeah, it's a concern. Is it massive? No, because I really like the way he plays.
Yeah.
I like that the man press, the stickiness, the feistiness. I love his play style. And I think everything he's doing is, I'm not going to say easily correctable, but it's correctable, right? I think there's just a couple small coaching points where, you know, you just, hey, man, like once a guy hits his break, you got to keep your hands off him, right? You can give a little bit of touch. There's some veteran moves that corners and secondary use to get away with it, maybe catch the ref in a blind spot where, hey, if I grab, you know, this part, right, they might not be able to see it, but if I got my hands outside and I'm...
A little rub here, a little tug there.
Yeah, a little tug over here. Tug the right spots, man. Can't be doing it in front of the guys, all right? He's going to learn, though. He's going to learn, and obviously, you could tell it's been a point of emphasis. I mean, I think every game you go into as coaching staff, you meet with the refs and you say, hey, you know, heads up, this guy gets a little bit, you know...
they're definitely
physical.
Looking for it.
Yeah, so I think they're looking for it. And were a couple of them ticky-tack? Yeah, I think a couple were. But there was a couple where, you know, I think one of them, the receiver was going down and kind of looked like Tarion took him down. You know, I don't know. I mean, it was good coverage. But then there's a couple where Tarion's slipping out of his break, too, and just getting a little bit too handsy. So, yes, I would say he's got a lot of work to do to clean that up. But I don't want him to change his play style, you know, if that makes sense. I don't want him to get conservative and all of a sudden, okay, now I'm afraid to get a penalty, so I'm going to back off a little bit. I don't want him to do that, and I don't think the coaches do either. They would love to have Carlton and Tarion be those man press corners and play physical and support the run and make plays on the ball. So I think he's got some work to do.
We've gotten a bunch of ticket texts about an under-the-radar lion. I don't think is under-the-radar anymore. I want to get your thoughts on that coming up next. Plus, TJ plays the 2 Grand Slam. How many hours of sleep for you?
Give me some hints.
There'll be 10 questions. You'll have 60 seconds.
No geography, please.
No promises on that. Okay. How many hours of sleep?
I got home at 1, probably 4. Okay. Five.
The kids still got up?
Yeah.
Damn those kids.
Yeah. They still at school.
Still got to go to school. Yeah.
So that's cool.
We wrap with TJ next, 97.1. Put them up.
Yeah.
The ref was literally just standing there nodding at Amon Ross.
I know. Amon Ross St. Brown's waiting for the touchdown, and he's like, yeah.
He was just nodding at him.
And then you see the replay, and he clearly got both feet in. Yeah. So you're like, what the hell? The guy right there can't call a touchdown.
Yeah.
Anyway.
He forgot.
We'll get you to play the 2 Grand Slam. Tim Patrick has come up a lot on the ticket text saying, oh, he can slide into that Reynolds role. Are you seeing that?
Yeah. I saw it yesterday with one throw in particular, that kind of intermediate, you know,
crossing route,
in route. That was a staple of Jared Goff and Josh Reynolds. Just trusting the guy, knowing where he's going to be. And talked to Tim after the game yesterday, and he just said, man, like the last couple weeks, you feel like the chemistry is starting to get there with the quarterback. He's obviously only been here for, a month. So he's probably starting to get more comfortable with the playbook and the designs and the timing and the spacing of this offense. And he made a couple big throws, or I'm sorry, a couple big catches yesterday. And big body, would like to see him maybe get involved a little bit more in the red zone moving forward, you know, because he is a big guy.
Yeah,
big target. Get a lot of man coverage down there. Maybe could be a 50-50 guy, throw him some jump balls in the end zone. But, yeah, that's coaches have been begging since training camp for somebody to step up and really take that position over. And he looked solid yesterday.
It does feel like everybody's kind of getting into their role. So Goff only throws 18 passes, but St. Brown gets 6 catches. Laporta gets 4 catches. J-Mo has a big 70-yard touchdown, 2 catches. Patrick, 2 catches. Brock Wright, 2 catches. Like, spreading the ball around, everybody's kind of settling into where they can attack.
And that's where Jared Goff is his best. I know that you know, coming out of week one, where's Amon-Ra, right? And then week two, it's like, you know, 20 targets. That's not where this offense operates their best. If you're just trying to target one guy and make him the focal point, that's where Jared Goff's going to make some mistakes. And we've seen that a little bit throughout the first three games, not much yesterday. That's where he's his best, when he just takes what the defense has given him. And that's why people keep asking, you know, when's LaPorta going to finally have the big game? I don't know, man. It just depends on how the defenses want to play these guys. And Jared Goff, as long as he keeps hitting the open guys and the under routes and taking the smart checkdowns when he has to,
his time will come.
We know what this offense is capable of.
And they've made it very hard to defend. It was hard to defend last year, but now all of a sudden you have that deep threat, that game-breaking threat of J-Mo.
Mm-hmm.
Now all of a sudden it does open things up in the middle for Tim or for Amon-Ra, and eventually it's going to be Jahmyr Gibbs underneath. Eventually it's going to be Sam LaPorta. We saw Brock Wright with two big catches yesterday.
Yeah, and that's, you know, honestly, that's what makes Seattle's passing attack, I think, so good, is that they don't really just key in on one guy. We know that they've got three guys, and JSN and Tyler Lockett, and Noah Fant's pretty good. But those guys have kind of rotated each week. Okay, it's Tyler Lockett week one, and then JSN week two, and then last week Noah Fant was the leading receiver, and then this week it's DK Metcalf. Like, those are the offenses that are scary. Look at what Green Bay does, right? Mm-hmm. Like, they, with the receivers that they have, those are when offenses, I think, go at full capacity, is when you're not just trying to force feed the ball to one guy. Mm-hmm. When you're able to just read the field and pick your poison.
All right, full disclosure, TJ, John is rooting against you. Plotting your demise.
He told me the over-under is 5.5.
Still got a tag on your hat there, Doug.
I've done it intentionally.
You're trying to be like the...
Gator hates that.
What's the over-under?
Love it. Well, the bar has been set at 6.
Okay. Yeah, our guy earlier got 6. Can TJ do better? Let's see.
We'll find out.
Can I get a lifeline?
No, there's no lifeline.
No, there's no call.
60 seconds.
Phone a friend. You have no friends.
You receive $0.
I need a lifeline, Gator.
All weekend. You
have... All right. Yes. All right. Clock will begin as soon as I start the questions. Okay. Who does Michigan play in football this coming Saturday night?
Washington.
What is the state capital of Washington?
Pass.
Who is the starting pitcher for the Houston Astros today?
Valdez.
Jackson Smith and Jacob played at this college?
Ohio State.
This artist had the 1982 hit Billie Jean?
Michael Jackson.
Who currently leads the NFL in rushing yardage?
Derrick Henry.
Who played Vince Papale in Invincible?
Oh, pass.
Carl Anthony Towns played at this college?
Oh, man. Kentucky.
Who led Major League Baseball in stolen bases this past season?
I mean, I know Shohei had 50. Go with him.
This team lost in the 2024 NBA Finals.
Dallas.
What is the capital of Washington?
It's not Seattle, but it's the only Washington city I can name.
Seven.
Okay, What was the movie question?
So the state capital is Olympia.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Who played Vince Papale in Invincible?
Invincible? Why am I drawing a blank? Oh, the football movie.
Denzel Washington.
shoot. Wahlberg.
Guy. Wahlberg. Yeah, Mark Wahlberg. Yeah. And then who led Major receiver. League Baseball in stolen bases this past season? Ellie De La Cruz.
Okay.
All right. Yep. Gator knew. You should have called a friend.
You knew Ellie De La Cruz?
Did he look at you?
I did.
Okay.
What do I get? A couple $100?
I tried Mount Olympia.
Where do I collect the cash?
Yeah, check is in the mail.
Okay.
Yeah, so wait for it at home.
Wahlberg.
Donnie Wahlberg. All right, not bad. You had to throw the geography in there, though. State capitals are not.
But yes, it was on the list. Okay, I just read what's in front of me.
Used to be mine, but not so much anymore. But I had that one.
I don't think I can name Spokane. Is that in Washington?
There you go. Yeah,
right. I'm out of Washington
Spokane.
City.
Man.
Spokane.
Spokane. Yeah, it's spelled Spokane.
Pecan.
Wow.
So how are you guys going to divvy up the show today? You guys are leading into Tigers playoff baseball.
It's a big challenge. Too much fun stuff to talk about.
Did you hear Dan Dickerson when he was on with us?
Yes.
I mean, he couldn't stop giggling.
I know.
He's so excited about this.
He is very excited.
So great.
Who isn't?
Yeah.
Yep.
We talked to Dan last
good day.
Week, and he just had a big smile on his face the whole time.
I'm sure.
I mean, this is such a fantastic season that's still going, which mm-hmm. is crazy that it's still going. I love it. Absolutely love it. People telling you, you know, like a month ago, just stop. Don't say anything. Come on. Don't even get excited about this.
Yeah.
Like, well, why not?
Yeah, sure. Let's have some fun.
Why maybe can't we get excited about
it? Maybe they can play some interesting games in September.
And now here we are 6 weeks later. And,
happens
and
to be
by
October
September,
1.
We apparently met October.
Yes.
You guys October aren't in the baseball. Crowd of, hey, whatever happens, it's been great. Like, I'm in the mode now where it's like, you.
Well, here's the thing.
You can do this thing.
I'm sort of in them. I want to win. Absolutely. I geared up for this team to win, but I already know how I'm going to react if they don't advance as far as you want them to. I already know that I'm going to be like, well, this was a season I didn't expect.
Right.
But I'm not, that's not my mindset going into it.
I'm not going to the airport to greet them if they lose. Like, yeah. It's not one of those.
Be disappointed. Yeah.
Yes.
It'd be disappointing, but I won't be disappointed in them. Does that make sense?
100%.
Yeah.
Thanks, Dad. Such a dad comment. I'm not disappointed in you, just the situation.
Is there anything worse than being told by your dad he's disappointed?
Oh, there's yeah. Nothing you want to talk about crushing. Yeah. Yes.
Soul crushing.
Yes.
You going to take him for ice cream if they win the whole thing, Doug?
The kids?
These kids.
There's 12 of them.
Yeah.
12 rookies.
Yeah, we should. Why not?
There you go.
How about
we'll have them over to the house here. Ice cream social.
Two scoops, guys.
Two scoops. Carson Anderson, they're coming up next. It's 97.1.
No sprinkles.